Impatience and irritability. Now you're getting personal. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, July the 8th, 2009.
Well, on Monday, as I began to read and study for tonight and get ready for tonight's session, I knew when I looked at the material, I wasn't going to like it. When I looked at the topic out of Bridges' book in this chapter on impatience and irritability, it ticked me off, which is your first clue about where I am. I read that and I thought, impatience and irritability, sinful? Surely not. They're two of my best traits. That can't possibly be sinful. But the more I read and the more I studied and the more I looked at it, the more convicted I got. And I began to realize that this is one of those areas in my life of tolerated sin, that I've allowed it to be there, and I've allowed it to, at times, control, and it's something I really need to work on. And I made the commitment, I'm going to work on this area of respectable sin in my life. And then just after noon on Monday, I left to go meet a friend for lunch. And I got stuck in a traffic jam on 244, trying to get to the Broken Arrow Expressway. I'm running late. I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting angry. I got off downtown, and I snaked my way through, and I finally got where I needed to go. And the whole time, I'm muttering under my breath, and I'm telling all the other drivers just what I think of them. And I realized impatience and irritability reign in my life. It's something I've got to deal with. And you know, he has a sense of humor, because my whole week's been this way. Every day, it seems like. It's just another day like the day before, and it just keeps building. And I found myself saying, I think I get the point. And I'm sure he was responding, no, I don't think you do. Because he's teaching me every day about this particular area in my own life. Do you like it when things don't go according to plan? Do you get frustrated easily? Do you get impatient easily? Are you a patient person? If I were to talk to your spouse, if I were to talk to your children, if I were to talk to your coworkers or people who know you, people to spend time with you, when they're describing you, would patience show up in the top 10 traits? About the top 100? Do you struggle with patience? Do you struggle with irritability? You know what they say, don't pray for patience unless you're prepared to suffer for it, right? If you pray for patience, the Lord usually produces things in your life to teach you patience. See, I'm one of those, I would love to have the patience of Job, but I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to go through what Job went through in order to gain the patience of Job. Let's define some terms. Impatience. What are we talking about? We talk about being impatient, or a person is impatient. Here's just a dictionary definition. A dislike of anything that causes delay. A dislike of anything that causes delay. Second, a restless desire for change and excitement. A restless desire for change and excitement. Third, a lack of patience, irritation with anything that causes delay. So there's your dictionary definition of impatience. How about irritability? A disposition to exhibit uncontrolled anger. I don't like that definition. It's a little too close to home. An irritable, petulant feeling. Okay, now that's how the dictionary defines it. Let me give you the definitions that Bridges uses in his book, because I think they more directly relate to what we're talking about. We're talking about these areas of respectable sin, or sin that we tolerate. We know that there's no sin that's respectable. All sin is a violation of God's will. All sin is a violation of the character of God. It's disobedience. So there's no such thing as a respectable. But what we're talking about are those areas that you and I tend to say, okay, not ideal, but not that bad either. We're talking about those sins that we don't consider to be scandalous. They're lesser sins, But while it's true to say not all sins are equal, all sins are sinful. And because all sins are sinful, they're all serious. They're all a violation of the will of God. And God said, the soul that sins will die. He didn't say the soul that sins really, really sins, or sins really bad, or the soul that does a scandalous thing will die. He says, no, the soul that sins will die. So they're all serious. It's all a serious matter that has to be addressed and has to be dealt with. But let's think of impatience and irritability as Bridges discusses it in this chapter. Impatience. A strong sense of annoyance at the usually unintentional fruits or unintentional faults and failures of others. A strong sense of annoyance at the usually unintentional faults and failures of others. In other words, it's not that they set out to make you mad. It's not that they intentionally are trying to harm you. It's unintentional. A strong annoyance with that. This impatience is often expressed verbally in a way that tends to humiliate the person who is the object of the impatience. So something is done and I react to it in frustration and anger, and when I speak of it, I humiliate the object of my impatience. It's a little slam, it's a little slap at the person, the thing, the circumstance that brought out. Now notice, I didn't say that caused my impatience. You do know that nobody can make you impatient. No circumstance makes you impatient. They just reveal the impatience that's in you. They reveal that part of you and who you are. It originates within you. What about irritability? Irritability describes the frequency of impatience, or the ease with which a person can become impatient over the slightest provocation. So irritability is the outgrowth of impatience. It's the frequency with which we get impatient, or it's how easily we are provoked and reveal our impatience. The person who is easily or frequently becomes impatient is an irritable person. Okay. We understand the definition. We understand the dictionary definition. We understand Bridges' definition. I kind of know what he's talking about. I understand, but still, what does that look like? Describe the kind of thing you're talking about. Okay. Do you ever have to repeat something several times to either your spouse or child? It can be because of a hearing problem. It can be that they just have problems hearing, but you get a little tired of having to repeat yourself. You get a little irritated about how this is the fourth time I've told you. What do you mean you didn't know? Ever happen? I can see everybody's smiling, everybody's laughing because we've all been there. Okay? How about, do you ever struggle because you like to get everywhere early and your spouse likes to show up right on time or a little late, and you get impatient, you get frustrated with that? Have you ever said to a child, how many times do I have to tell you, fill in the blank? You're just tired of it. I've told you and I've told you and I've told you and I've told you, and I'm not telling you anymore. Every parent has been there. Probably every wife has been there. Have you ever found yourself wondering why they have all those checkout lines at Walmart and only two people working them? Ever found yourself at a restaurant saying, okay, either our waitress is an idiot or this is her first day? Because you don't like the service you're getting. Or you find yourself saying, there went the tip, because I'm not leaving anything. We've been here. We haven't. They don't. She didn't. Beginning to see those areas that we tend to flare up, but we don't consider it a serious matter. It's the kind of thing that we say, well, these things are understandable. I have a right to feel that way. I have a right to be upset. I have a right to be disappointed. I have a right to be angry because of, really? Do we really have a right to that? Or is it a sinful behavior? I guess what it really comes down to is that if everything is about us, if I'm the center of the universe, and my comfort and my feelings and my agenda is really all that matters, then yes, I have every right to feel that way. But if I'm not the center of the universe, and if it really isn't all about me, then no, I don't have a right. It's not enough to say, this behavior is understandable. The question is it right? Is it biblical? Is it godly? And we have a tendency in these areas to justify sinful behavior, to justify sinful attitudes, to say we have a right in that instance. We have a right in this circumstance. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul? You'll find him in 1 Corinthians 13 as he's talking about love, as he's trying to describe to the church at Corinth, who was at each other's throats, who had all kinds of problems, who had divisions within the church because everybody picked out their favorite preacher, and some said, we're of Peter, and some said, we're of Apollos, and he had the spiritual crowd said, well, we just love Jesus. But everybody choosing upside and everybody at each other, as he's talking to them about love, do you remember what he said? He said, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rather rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. As he's talking about love, the love of Christ that's been given to us, the love of God that dwells in the heart of the child of God, how does that love express itself? He says, first, it's patient. And then he goes on to use other words related to that, not insisting on its own way, not irritable, not resentful, and willing to endure all things. Because see, there's that part of us that says, now, is impatience really a sin? Is it really that big a deal? Well, if love is patient, if the way God expects us to live is in a patient manner, then yes, it's a problem. Strong's lexicon defines the word used here as patience as meaning to preserve patiently or persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles. Persevering, enduring misfortunes and troubles. To be patient in bearing the offense and injuries of others. Trouble, misfortune, offenses, injuries. To be mild and slow in avenging. To be long-suffering, slow to anger, and slow to punishment. Are you a patient person? Is your faith expressed in patience in dealing with others? This is God's command to His children. It's how we're expected to live. Paul echoes the same sentiment in Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. In other words, you're God's child, now act like it. You're God's child, now reflect His character in the way that you live. What does that mean? How is that expressed? With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God expects of His children, those who call His name, those who have His Spirit within them, those of us who are to reflect His character and nature in the way that we live and the way that we deal with other people, God expects us to be patient. It's the same word that's used here in Ephesians 4 that's used in 1 Corinthians 13. Slow to avenge, enduring trouble, injury, hardship, offense. In fact, it refers to one who has the right, who has the power, and who has the opportunity to avenge, but refuses to do so. That's what the word means. Years ago, when we were still at OBU, I went to class and Riadon went to work. It was a great arrangement. And I would get home in time to watch the Cubs or somebody play baseball in the afternoon while she worked. But I remember one afternoon, I'm looking out the window, and Daisy lived next door. That's a basset hen. Daisy's laying out in the sun, which was her favorite thing to do. She just laid out there for hours, hardly ever moved. Down the street was a chihuahua, and the chihuahua liked to come and visit Daisy. And I'm watching one afternoon, and the chihuahua is frisky and wants to play. So she's yapping and running circles around Daisy, just yapping and biting her ear, biting her backside, grabbing her tail, and Daisy didn't move. And I watched with great fascination, because I knew at any point all Daisy had to do was wait till he came around, and that would have been the end of it. And she certainly would have been justified. She never did. She tolerated it. That's what the word means, that we are called to be patient, long-suffering, and long-suffering is my favorite term for patience because it involves suffering on my part. Patient, loving, bearing up under. According to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, patience is an expression of the fruit of the Spirit. Again, the fruit of the Spirit, those nine things that are listed in Galatians 5, are not a cafeteria. You can't come down through there and say, well, I need to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, so I think I'll take this one, and I think I'll take that. No, the nine together are the fruit singular, and the various expressions of that. We're called to reflect all of that. So we're called, we are commanded by our Lord and Master to exhibit patience. Colossians 3 and verse 12, Paul says we're to put on patience. It's to characterize us as the people of God. It's to be at the core of who we are. If you put all this together, it tells us that patience is a virtue that we are to cultivate as the people of God. It doesn't come naturally to us because we are naturally self-centered and self-motivated. Even those of us who've been born again, even those of us in whom the Spirit of God dwells, we have to grow in holiness. We have to grow in sanctification. We're not born full grown spiritually. And so we strive toward this. We work toward this. We have to cultivate this attitude. And it is work. And it's difficult. And the only place you learn to do it is the environment where you have to do it again and again and again and again. So the thing that so irritates me and so frustrates me is God's gift to me to teach me patience, long-suffering, how to express my love, how to express my concern. This is one of the beauties of the church. Do you know why God put us together? So we could irritate one another and thus teach one another patience and love and gratitude. It's in the environment where we have cause to stretch and reflect and to consider and to learn and to grow. Though you and I may think impatience is an acceptable thing, it's not acceptable to our God. He commands us to be patient. But wait a minute. I understand that, Pastor, but you don't understand what I'm up against. You don't know my husband. You don't know my neighbor. You don't know my boss. You don't know my mother-in-law. You don't know the people I have to deal with. Well, that may well be. But you just need to stop and think about yourself and God's kindness and patience toward you. And then remember, I'm not the one commanding you to be patient. He is. And He has every right to do so. Because He is certainly patient with us. He is certainly long-suffering with us. And He's put up with far more from us than you and I will ever be called upon to put up from anybody we're ever going to come across on the planet. And He's called us to this life. And what about irritability? Well, as I said, it's the outgrowth of impatience. If you're upset with someone or circumstances a lot of the time, then guess what? You may be an irritable person. If it's real easy to cause you to flare up, if it's real easy to push your button, then you need to give some thought to this. Are you the kind of person that people feel like they have to tiptoe around you? Are you the kind of person that people feel like they're on eggshells anytime they're around you and they're afraid, oh, I've got to be careful because I don't want to set them off. I don't want to make them mad. I don't want to get them upset. Then you may need to examine your heart and determine whether or not you're an irritable person. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Remember where we started? Bridges' definition of what impatience was? It's our being annoyed by the unintentional fault and failure of others. Good sense makes one slow to anger. It is his glory to overlook and offense. Peter reminds us that love covers a multitude of sins. Well, if it can cover a multitude of sins, then certainly it could cover a multitude of imperfections, faults, and failures. So, how do we deal with it? How do we address this issue? How do we deal with this tolerated or acceptable sin? The same as we deal with all of them. You begin by acknowledging that it is sin. That's the starting point. You have to come to the point to say, it's not acceptable. It's not understandable. It's sin. It's a violation of God's command. It's a violation of God's character. It is an affront to who He is. I have to acknowledge it for what it is. And once I acknowledge it for what it is, I then have to repent. Repentance is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. And repentance is not something we did one time when we walked an aisle in response to hearing the gospel and we give our heart to Jesus. That requires repentance, but that's the beginning of a lifetime of repentance. As we recognize every time we're out of line, every time we're living in violation to God's will, we repent. That's simply saying, I'm going the wrong way and I need to change. Therefore, I must repent. I must change direction. I must look at this differently. I must think about this differently. I must behave differently. That's what repentance is. The next thing we need to do is to look for those areas that tend to cause us to be impatient. Is it certain people? We need to acknowledge that. need to acknowledge, if there's a certain person that has that just they touch your button every time you're around them, then you need to say, why is that? Why do I react that way to that individual? Begin to deal with it. Because I know from my experience, there are those people that, boy, they can do it. They say certain things, and at the same time, there are other people who could say the same thing to me and it not have that effect at all. So the problem's not there. The problem's here. So I have to deal with that. Before God and in prayer, I have to deal with what's my problem with that individual. Why do I react the way I react? Is it primarily a circumstance? Well, then why is that circumstance the thing that causes that? What's the root of it? The bottom line is I must get to the point where I no longer excuse or tolerate impatience or irritability. And yeah, we're all going to struggle with it. You're never going to get to the point you say, okay, I can mark that one off the list and move on because I've got that one figured out. We'll struggle with it the rest of our days because we are in the process of being sanctified. We're in the process of being made holy. And it is a daily battle. It is a daily struggle, but one that we can win, one where we can overcome by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. There are irritable people in the world and circumstances that frustrate. But that's part of God's working in us to conform us to the image of His Son. So not only do I recognize it for what it is and repent of it and get to the root cause of why this person, why this circumstance, why is it I react that way, what is going on within me, I also need to thank God because He's using this to conform me to the image of His Son. And so I need to give thanks for that circumstance. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. For everything, give thanks. That's what Paul's talking about. Let's consider one other thing real quick before we close. What if you're the object of someone else's impatience? What if you are the one they blow up on? What if you're the one who is berated and criticized and attacked? How do you respond? Do you respond in kind? Do you say, okay, if that's the way you want to play the game, I'm really good at this? Is that biblical? Is that the way the Lord wants us to respond? It seems to me we have at least two options. One is we can follow the example of Jesus. What did Peter tell us in 1 Peter 2, verse 23? In talking of the Lord Jesus, he said, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So how did Jesus respond? Not in kind. Not in tit for tat. He trusted God that justice would ultimately be done. He didn't threaten. He didn't attack. He didn't criticize. That's one option. The other option is to confront. Matthew 18, you go to the brother and you talk to him about why is this going on? Why do we have this problem between us? And try to confront the issue. Now, what do you do when they don't? What do you do if you go to them and you say, we need to talk this out because I know you've got a problem with me. It seems that I'm always pushing your button and I don't understand why. Can we talk about it? And they say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have an issue with you. What do you do then? Revert to number one and respond as Christ responds. If that's the way it's going to be, then I'll just leave it in God's hand. See, my responsibility is, as far as is possible with me, be at peace with all men. But if others won't be at peace with me, I'm not responsible for that. So I have to revert to trusting God and His grace and leave it in His hand. We have been called to holiness. We're called to be different and distinct from the world around us. When the Bible says that we're to be a peculiar people, that's what it means. We act differently. We react differently. We value different things. And we live according to a different standard. We are to reflect as accurately as possible the character and the heart of our God. That demands that we refuse to tolerate sin in our lives, both the scandalous and the respectable. Are you a patient person? Do you tend to be impatient? Do you struggle with being irritable? If so, welcome to the club. And by God's grace, let's deal with it.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.